with all power. And because of our relationship with him, we are joint heirs. Right? Joint heirs, co-heirs with Christ. Because that's how he wanted it. That's how God ordained it, that we would reign. So I thought we were doing that. Here's the thing. Here is the thing. We've got to learn to reign. Jesus reigns. He knows how to reign. We reign, but we don't know how to reign. So we need to train. So we learn how to reign. So today we're having reigning training on how to be co-heirs with Christ. Because he reigns, we reign, but we don't know how to reign. So we got to learn how to reign. We got to get some training, reigning training. Here we go.
Yes, ma'am.
So today, we're on, I thought we were doing a workshop, so stay with me. We're on lesson 2B, serve the Lord. Learning how to reign, serve the Lord with gladness.
Yes, ma'am.
Serve the Lord with gladness. So let's begin with Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then we get some clear direction. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We've just done that. Led by the praise and worship team. Some of us made the joyful noise. Others of us came with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He made us. We did not make ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful to him and bless his holy name.
Yes, Lord.
To serve. To serve means to perform duties or services for another person. To work for, be in the service of, perform duties for, be employed by, be obedient to carry out the wishes of, to be of use to help, to give help, to assist, to aid, to lend a hand, to minister. To serve. Jesus reigns. And because he reigns, we too reign. To reign means to dominate.
Yes, ma'am.
To rule. You know, these are all words that we often refer to with athletic teams. They dominate. They rule. To prevail in power, status, and importance.
That's good.
To possess sovereign power. Meaning nobody can question, nobody can interrupt, nobody can touch your power. Christ and Christ alone has sovereign power, but he invites us to be a co-heir. A co-heir, not sloppy seconds, but to be a co-heir with him. So the thing about reigning is this. You know, in the United States, we've got this affinity. We have turned our attention to and our affection to and our actions to the royal family. Oh, we like the royal family. We're always curious about it. We want to read about them, see what they're doing, see them in their pomp and circumstance. So they are the royal family of England. And they reign. So we're going to learn a little bit about reigning. We need a tangible example. So here are some of the royal families. So what's it mean? What do the members of the royal family do? How do they reign? Yeah. What's reigning look like? What they do is members of the royal family undertake official royal duties in support of Her Majesty the Queen and on behalf of Her Majesty's government. They're doing work as charitable entrepreneurs. I like that, charitable entrepreneurs.
Yes, ma'am.
You know what that means they do? They're creative, they're innovative, They think about ways to generate charity, to generate goodwill towards others, on behalf of the queen, on behalf of her purposes, on behalf of her intents.
Yes, ma'am.
That's what the royal family does. They don't hang out. They reign.
Yes, ma'am.
They have very aggressive schedules. The queen herself did over 300 engagements the year before COVID hit. She's in her 90s. 300. You know what she's doing? She's reigning.
Yes, Lord.
She's reigning. And she has members of her family. And what do? They do her bidding. They assist. They go for her. They speak for her. They represent for her. They're reigning.
Yes, ma'am.
So we've got to learn how to reign. So what's this, how does this relate to us? Jesus reigns. So what's reigning look like for us? A little reigning training here. So how do we reign? We reign by serving. We serve God by serving others. We serve other people on behalf of God.
Yes, ma'am. That's good.
We undertake official royal duties in support of King Jesus and on behalf of his kingdom, working as charitable entrepreneurs. We get creative to solve problems, to assist people, to bring acts of kindness, to meet needs with the gifts that Christ has given us. That's what we're to do. We're to reign. Still struggling with y'all ain't in your robes, but I'm going to work with that. I'm going to work with that.
Yes.
You see, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." That's what we do. We reign. We do good works. People should be looking to us.
Yes, ma'am.
They reign and do good works. They should be so glad to see us coming. Here comes those people from BCC. Thank God. Here comes help. Here comes a hand. Here comes resources. Here comes creativity to solve problems. And Jesus flipped it. He flipped the whole thing. You see, we're in the world, and the greatest in the world often are the least connected to meeting directly meeting needs. But Jesus said, the greatest among you must be a servant.
Yes, Lord.
The greatest among you must be a servant. See, God expects those who love him to provide service to others. By providing service to others, we become God's hands, reaching out to others. And God has a very special place in his heart, very tender heart, for the most vulnerable members of society. More than 30 times in the Word, God talks about the most vulnerable. He talks about the widows, those who in biblical times didn't have a woman who didn't have a covering of a man. The orphans, those without parents. He also talked about the aliens in the land.
Yes, ma'am.
Those who didn't belong according to man's law in the land. God has a very tender heart towards the most vulnerable in society. And he charges us, his followers, to provide service to all, but especially to the most vulnerable.
Good.
So the purpose of our service is so that God can reach others through our hands. Very simple. It's not complicated. It's not a mystery. We are his hands. We are the heart of God in our world with hands to help. with skills, with knowledge, with abilities, and most of all, with a directive as co-heirs to serve. See, in 2 Corinthians 9, 12 and 13, the word says that the service we provide not only meets needs, but it also expresses thanks to God. Our service is an expression of thanks to God, and it leads others to praise God. Now, I know everyone has heard somebody say, "Oh, you're here. Thank God. Do you have $5? I could thank God. You came with a helping hand. Thank God. You came with an encouraging word. Thank God." Our services, our acts of service, generate praise to God, oftentimes from those who aren't a part of the family. Right? Even in their casual expression, they realize their desperation and thank God. We reign and we bring acts of service.
Yes, Lord. We reign.
So, we've been talking about practicing what he preached, practicing what Jesus preached. I'm just going to suggest we go with that. Don't practice what you preach. Practice what Jesus preached. You see, Jesus preached in words and in deeds. Oftentimes in deeds and then in words. Oh, there's a tip. There's a tip. In deeds and then in words. See, Jesus was not a motivational speaker. That wasn't his thing. Right? He wasn't trying to inspire you to do big things and then not actually do big things. You know, sometimes motivational speakers say, "Yeah, get out there, you can do it." And the big thing they did was to say, "Yeah, get out there, you can do it." That's their big thing. That's not Jesus. Jesus, in fact, is the complete opposite. He did big things. Wait. He did big things. And then empowered you and me to do big things.
Come on.
We're not just standing there watching him. We too are co-heirs to do big things. Do big things through his word. So let's practice what he preached. So in Matthew 20, Jesus is having a conversation. It's the Last Supper. And he's having a conversation. And he's talking about what they see in the world. And they talk about leaders in the world. He's talking about leaders in the world. And he says, you know, the leaders in the world that you see, they dress up in special robes and they command and they do their thing. And quite often they take advantage of people. And yet we call them friends of people. And then he says, not so with you.
Thank you.
Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be the servant.
Yes, Lord.
Completely the opposite. And he says, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave.
Yes,
ma'am. In the same way, we're practicing what he preached, just as he, the Son of Man, didn't come to be served. He didn't stand up in his authority to be served. He did the opposite. He came in all of his authority and served. And in fact, gave his life a ransom for many at the possibility that we would accept him. Not a guarantee. You know, so many things now, we need a guarantee. We've gotten a little too comfortable. We've gotten way too comfortable. I don't know. It takes so long to order.
Come on.
This doggone internet. Slow. We've gotten way too comfortable. Way too. I don't know. I called 5 minutes ago. Jesus spent most of his ministry providing services to others. He performed numerous miracles, such as healing the blind, healing leprosy, healing those who were demon-possessed. He met many physical needs. But he also provided services in meeting emotional needs.
Yes, ma'am.
He listened to people.
Yes.
I think one of the most powerful examples of that is the woman at the well. Right? He's reigning. He's got all authority. He's the Messiah.
Yeah.
And he's talking to somebody who's considered the lowest of the low.
Yes.
Right? He's not casually talking. He's carrying on a conversation. He wasn't having the conversation with the lowest of the low. And then when his disciples came back, he didn't do that.
Come on.
He didn't do that. That's why they were wondering, why are you talking to her? Right? He was reigning and teaching them how to serve. So, let's not get this thing twisted. Just because we're free in Christ doesn't give us liberty to not serve.
Yes.
You know, some people believe that the Bible doesn't require those who follow God to serve others. Now, how can that be? That was just my commentary. Sorry about that. How could that be? What could you possibly see in the Lord that would suggest that he wouldn't be interested in you serving others? See, the reasoning is that since we are saved by grace and grace alone, they then don't have any obligation to provide service. Now, while it's true that we are saved by grace and that we are free in Christ,
yes, Lord.
Let's not get it backwards. Christ gave his life that we might be free and that we might reign with him. Out of the Message Bible, Galatians 5, 12 and 13 says, it's absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want and destroy your freedom. Don't go mess it up by going back into that which he pulled you out of.
Yes, ma'am.
That which he pulled you out of multiple times. Now you're going to use your freedom to get caught back up? No, don't use your freedom for that. In fact, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in the single sentence, love others as you love yourself. See, that's real freedom. And when you reign, that's what you're able to do.
Yep.
Now, some of us get confused about reigning. We get a little worked up about it. It's not, you know, because we've got a lifestyle that doesn't support reigning. What we need to do is develop a Christ style where reigning is just a part of how we live.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong. We've all been to Mickey D's. In fact, we've been there so many times we call it. Maybe we got a nickname for it. Nickname for it, right? So we've all been to Mickey D's. And when you reign at Mickey D's, you know, you pull up to the speaker and they say to you, can I take your order? It's very encouraging and inviting. And you order some french fries and a hamburger and whatever it is that you like. And, you know, when we're reigning there, we eat with our fingers in the car.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Stuff's dropping under the car. That's how we reign, right? But when we put on the robes as co-heirs with Christ,
yes, ma'am.
We have a Christ style. We don't have to do that. We don't have to dabble. There's a whole buffet, right? With they sit you at a table, four or five. We don't even know which fork to use.
Yeah.
You know, four or five forks. I got some spoons up front because they ran out of space for the forks, I guess. Okay. And they bring you your meal, and there's a whole different, there's a maitre d', they don't even call it. Yeah, they got a whole different name.
Yeah.
Because when we reign with Christ, we're in our royalty.
Yes,
we're in the space that we're supposed to be. And the truth is, we've got to decide to let go of the junk food.
Mm.
Right? We've got, you know, some of us get real good with the, you know, some of us reigning with stale crackers and Cheese Whiz. Shaking that can. Just get a little bit more Cheese Whiz, right? Or the stale, you know, the Velveeta, when it gets that little crack. Oh, doggone, it's cracked up. It's all dried out up here. Let me try and find a little part that's got a little moisture in it to put on my stale cracker. You know, put on my stale cracker that doesn't even crack anymore. It's just, you know, just kind of fades away in your mouth. Okay.
Yes,
we got to have a different Christ style. We've got to decide to do that. I'm going to ask you to do something. We're too comfortable. We're too comfortable in society. We're getting okey-doke. We're getting fooled. We're getting deceived. I'm going to ask you to sit towards the front of your seats. Sit in a way that's a little bit uncomfortable. We've become too comfortable in society. We've become too comfortable in a society that isn't really even about what we're about, what we profess to be about, but we're sitting in spaces, taking in stuff that isn't good for us. We're not even checking it, right? We're not even checking it. C.C. Winans came out with a song like 20 years ago, and the words of the song were, filth is filtered right into our home. And I remember listening to that. Well, C.C., you know, you're taking it a little too far. That's where I was. You know, I like my little, you know, whatever, right? My music or whatever. Now, as I'm cultivating my Christ style, hold up. Well, don't bring any of that in here. No, wait a minute. Time out. We're not even aggressive about filtering that stuff. Now, I'm telling you, if they brought a big old fan with some dirt behind it and said, just open up your door. We're going to blow this right on into your house, your fresh dirt into your house. None of us would do that. Oh, no, what are you doing? Get away from me. Get away from my door. We wouldn't tolerate that for 1 second.
Yes, ma'am.
But we don't filter or often hesitate about what's on the TV. We don't filter and often hesitate about Facebook.
Come on.
Or social media. We all in everybody's business. That's not for you. That's not a Christ style. That's foolishness. We're dabbling in the dirt. We're wearing royal robes and eating dried out Velveeta and trying to spruce it up with Cheese Whiz. We're way too comfortable. We're way too comfortable. So we got to get in position to reign. We got to learn how to reign. We got to elevate our game. We've got to, wait a minute. We got to check ourselves and be critical and analytical and analytical in the spirit. Ask the Lord what you should watch. You get some pure flicks. That's what you get. Right? Because why do we watch TV? We need a little distraction. Right? We'll start filtering the news. I don't need to reprocess the reprocessing of the reprocess of the news. I don't need everybody's version. Right? I get we need to understand what's going on. But we don't need to be sucked into the things of the world.
Amen.
We're reigning. Do you think that the royals are over in the... No, they're not. That's not where they are. That's not where they live. That's not what they do. We have got to get a hold of this. We are being... COVID has revealed a great deal, right? A lot of people have been consumed and sucked away from the things of God, because we do the things of God so casually. Yeah. Hallelujah. Right? Right? And now I go to all the athletic events when I can, when they're, you know, when we're not in COVID. I go to quite a few of them. And people who have no faith in God are fired up about a game that really, literally has no meaning. I mean, it's fun. Don't get me wrong. We can have some fun. But it has no meaning. They are fired up, talk about it all day, set their whole day around going to do it.
Yeah.
Right? They're invested in that. Can we be invested in the things of God? Can we be deeply invested in the things of God? Can we spend, if it's a hard time, and I know we got to grow, and I know there's ebbs and flows in life. I get it. But if we have a hard time spending quality time with God, change your conversation with him. Change your conversation with him. Here's what I mean. Don't feel so obligated. Yeah. Okay, Lord, it's 7:30. Let me have devotions. Mm. Right? We have devotions sometimes like we're taking out the trash. Mm. Ah, I read the paragraphs. Thank you, Jesus. And God has nothing else to do with us, right? We have nothing else to do with God during the day, yet we're co-heirs, right? That's not going to work. Change the conversation. I encourage you to change the conversation. Have a real conversation. Lord, I ain't feeling any of this. How about you? I mean, you know, what are we doing? Be real. Have the real conversations with God. That's part of working out our salvation.
Amen.
how you have the conversation with God. But have the conversation. I am completely bored, Lord. I am struggling. Sometimes we're so spiritual that we don't share the struggle with God. Jesus, we just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And never had a conversation with, like, this whole job thing is not working. This is, I'm going through the motions at work. Get real with God. It's about reigning, right? The royal family. It's a family. Have the conversation. Have the conversations and be real. Hey, what are we doing, Lord? What's going on? Because you know what? The Lord will speak to you. We have to learn how to hear him, but he will speak to you. He will speak to you. Okay, here's the thing. God expects. God expects his co-heirs of Christ to serve.
Yes, ma'am.
And he expects his people to provide service often to the most vulnerable. So, what's the most important commandment? Yep. To love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. You know what that means? With everything you've got. That's how you're supposed to love God. With everything you got. We got to do the relational work of figuring out what that means for us. We've got to do that relational work. So that was Jesus' answer when he was asked, what's the most important commandment? But then he threw in a second one, which is, love your neighbors. Now love, you know, for you married couples or dating couples. Now, so I'll talk about the married couples, right? Because when y'all first got together, you know, and you know, he's all googly eyes, and then when he asked you to do something, it was no big deal. Oh yeah, sure. And when she asked you to do something, oh yeah, no, I don't mind doing that at all.
Come on.
Then you got married, right? So that's what love looked like at first, and then you got married. And I know of couples who've been married for generations. And he gets up in the morning and goes and gets her a cup of coffee.
Yes, ma'am.
And why does he do that? I'm sure that there are mornings that that's the last thing on his mind, but he's planned for it or prepared or whatever had to take so that he could serve. Right? Because that was important.
Yes.
So that he could serve. Love your neighbors. Love starts off as, you know, in marital relationships, it starts off as all this little, you know, oh, bae this and bae that, right? Yeah, bae. Bae, boo, all of it. That's how it starts, right? But the service, the loving is an action. It's not just the feeling. It's the action. It's doing all the stuff that you don't want to do, and what you wanted to do doesn't matter. Right, because I'm serving, because I'm loving. I think the parable of the Good Samaritan is a tremendous example of how we are to love our neighbors. First of all, our neighbors are everybody. Everybody is our neighbor. I think it provides a beautiful example. So what kind of Samaritan are you? What kind of Samaritan are you know, there were some other Samaritans. They called them, you know, officials and Levites and robe wearers. And they had other things to do. So what kind of Samaritan are you? Jesus set a very high standard for his followers to live up to. In Matthew 20:28, again, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served. Some of us, we got to check on that. He didn't come to be served. I want we need to think about that, because sometimes we go into places I'd never thought about anything but being served. What do you think I'm here for? I'm here to be served.
Come on.
But he came in his royalty to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So after shocking his disciples, I mean, he kind of shocked the disciples by washing their feet. Now, you know, some of us, especially women, you know, like, oh, my goodness, don't look at my toes until I get my pedicure. Oh, my goodness, don't know. And most of us are like, no, don't touch my feet. Don't touch my feet. But after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, so you're at a meal and the leader is now serving in one of the most lowly ways. To wash the disciples' feet. And he told them, a servant is not greater than his master. He said, then they began to argue among themselves. Now, you know, Jesus was probably wrestling with this. So we're having this Last Supper. And I've just washed your feet. And now they're arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Now, you know we're disciples. Completely off the point. Now we're trying to be my greatness. And Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord their greatness over people. But among you, it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? He says, the one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as the one who serves.
Yes, Jesus.
We're directed to follow his example of humble service to others. And we can't be afraid or too proud to take on the lowly tasks that will benefit and bless other people. See, the thing is, the Bible admonishes us who are supposed to reign with him, we have to reign his way. We are to serve by looking out for each other's best interests as we would wish to be treated, regardless of social status. See, that's foreign to the world. Everything is social status. Everything is social status. And we have to be so careful. We cannot. We are fooling ourselves. We are being hustled, bamboozled, deceived, whatever you want. If you think for one instance that those ways are right, those are not Christ's ways. That is not a Christ style. That is a lifestyle of the world. If you're worrying about what other shoes people wear, wear whatever shoes you want to wear. But if you're worried about what name brand is on somebody else's shoes, you don't have the mind of Christ. If you're worried about where somebody lives, you don't have the mind of Christ. We have to be willing. We have to humble ourselves. We have to get over our arrogance. But we have to be able to take on, be willing to serve the Lord with gladness in the lowly tasks. So let's get practical. How are we going to do this? How do you serve? In 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11 says, the end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers.
Yes, ma'am.
Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. How are we going to do this serving? You see, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. So use them well to serve one another.
So
do you have the gift of speaking? Do you have the gift? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Then do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies you. Can you build something? Can you carry something? Can you walk somewhere? Can you give a word of encouragement? Can you empower somebody? Can you listen to somebody? Can you help somebody? We have got to shift our posture. We are to reign, and one of the ways we must reign is in service. That is God's thing. He served you. He served me. We are supposed to reign in service. So let me ask you, what will you do to meet the needs of real people in your world? You know, there are real people. Jesus demonstrated God's heart by actually doing things for people in God's name, because he loves people and he wants to use you and me as his agents on the earth. So what are you going to do?
Yes, ma'am.
I have a friend who, she's relatively young in her walk with Christ. And she, I think, like all of us, sometimes are victims of the casualness with which we handle our relationship with Christ. But she has four things that she tries to do every day.
Yes, ma'am.
We weren't even talking about the Lord, and she just shared these four things with me. She says, every day I try to do something physical, get some exercise. I try to do something productive. Every day I do something that is fun, something that I enjoy, and every day I do something for someone. Every day I do something for someone.
Yes, Lord.
We are to gladly serve the Lord, and we serve the Lord by serving people as his representative. We must turn our attention, turn our affection, and turn our actions towards Jesus and serve. God wants us to serve people, all people, and especially the vulnerable. We've got to be value added. I'm frustrated, right? I'm not frustrated with any of us. I'm frustrated with all of us. Right? My frustration is we're not doing it. We're the heart of God in our world. We should be centering our attention, our affection, and our actions to do the things of God, to serve. Do you need some help cleaning out your garage? You walk by a meter, you're seeing it about to fall, to expire. Put a quarter in the meter. Hold the door for somebody. Get a glass of water for somebody. Mow their lawn.
Yes,
listen to somebody who's hurting. Help a child with their homework. Give somebody a ride to work. Offer somebody who lives in an apartment, doesn't have washer and dryer, ask them to come over to your place and do laundry. Your stuff isn't being used most of the time. Give them a ride. Most of us ride around in vehicles, me too, where there are more empty seats than there's ones consumed. And people are walking and struggling.
Yes, Lord.
We've got to find a way to contribute. And then contribute.
Amen.
Whether it's Wings of Refuge or Hope Harbor. We've got experts in counseling. We've got experts in cleaning. We got experts in listening. We've got experts in caring.
Yes, Jesus.
We've got to serve and do it with joy as unto the Lord. It's a paradox, right? It's a paradox. The greatest among us must serve. We are joint heirs with Christ. We need to assume our rightful royal position and do what Jesus does. We must serve. Who will you serve today? How will you serve today?